But you know, having made him my beloved at that stage, it certainly wasn't smooth sailing, as how most of us would know in Christian life. There were many occasions when I cried. I cried, but I knew the nearness of God with me. There were many occasions I was in despair. But God is so beautiful in His working that He would remind me that He is near to me. There was one occasion when I was locked up in my room. My parents wouldn't let me go out. There was no Bible. There was no other book. I was just not allowed to go out to medical school, anything. And coming up for university exams, I had no clue how to meet them. And I was worried. Really worried. And suddenly I found a book. A book in which I used to practice some handwriting. It is still pathetic, by the way. I used to practice handwriting. And I was just looking through that book, and in there I copied Psalm 94. The Lord is good, isn't He? I was in despair. And Psalm 94, I had copied the whole psalm, and verses 16, 17 onwards, beautiful psalm, beautiful words. When I found that my foot was slipping, lo, the Lord's comfort held me up. My foot was slipping, but the Lord's comfort has held me up. How the Lord loves us. And you know, following that comforting in my heart, I was encouraged. I couldn't prepare for this exam at all. And my parents would finally let me go to the exam. And I came out with a gold medal. Praise the Lord. None of my doing. None of my doing. But the Lord comforted me. Comforted me. And that, I trust, will be our experience, you know, as we rely on the Lord. It might not be an outward success, but it'll be a success inward nevertheless. In the face of adversity, you will still appreciate the Lord. And I could appreciate my Lord then. And I trust today, I will help us answer that question. My beloved, what is He like? What is our Lord like? You know, we would all look through the scripture, Matthew through John and through Pauline letters, and we would find wonderful statements concerning Him. Without sin. No sin. Couldn't sin. I suppose those three things are enough to talk about Him. But we also know of His compassion, of His healing, of His love, of His power, of His dedication, of His humility. How much do we read in the New Testament as to the details of who He is and what His love is like? If you want to know that, dear ones, come to the song. Come to the song. He is lovely. And I trust at the end of this meeting you will say, yes, He is altogether lovely. So what we have here. Now, brother, I'll forgive you for my name. But what's in a name? What's in a name, really? Well, for the record, Mahesh Bandarupali. Or Bandarupali. Two alternatives, you could say that. There is. I don't mind that. But you know, there's a special truth about the Lord's name. The Lord's name. Doesn't that enchant your soul this morning, dear ones? Just say the word Jesus, and I tell you, your soul will be lifted up. That's the power in that name, dear ones. What is my beloved like? Look at His name. Say His name. Feel His name. And I might say, smell His name. Why? It's a fragrant name, dear ones. It's a fragrant name. What does that name tell me? It tells me of His person. It tells me, in that very name, the moment you say Jesus Christ, you find all the excellencies of God in Him. All His glory is in Him. All His graces in Him. All His perfections in Him. All in that beautiful name. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Well, I will be gone to Melbourne. Somebody will come and ask you, what does Mahesh mean to you? Oh, it's that really slim person. Look at me. Really slim person, isn't he? Not at all, dear ones. Our names can mean many things. The names of this world can mean so many things. Sometimes, really, those names stink because they don't live up to what their names mean. But the Lord, His name,
is Himself. Jesus, that beautiful name, Jesus Christ, reflects to us His person, the excellencies of His person, dear ones. And it's a simple message, but I tell you, I trust you and I will enjoy that beautiful name more than any other name. And put it up. Let there be no other name on our lips, in our thoughts, in our lives. Maybe enjoy it. The fragrant name of our Lord. And by the way, this is the only occasion in the entire Song of Songs that the word name is used. And it's at the very beginning. Look at that verse, verse 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me as you go, or just listen to me as I read from the authorized text. Chapter 1, verse 3. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. What is His name like? Hey, it's got a great savour. It's a fragrant name. That's what we're looking at right now. And what is it name? What is the name like? It's like an ointment poured forth. Ointment. Does that remind you of something? Does that remind you of John chapter 12? The alabaster box? Does that remind you of that box of spikenard? Of the frankincense? Of those beautiful incenses? The fragrance of the name of our Lord. What else does the name tell us? I will be going slightly quick so that we can look at further few details. Excuse me for that. But I trust we will gather some lessons, albeit not said through my mouth, as how the Spirit would guide us in our hearts. The name is not just reflective about His person, but it also tells you and me about His work. The life and ministry of our Lord is a very instructive study, dear ones. If you haven't done it, dedicate your time specifically looking at the life and ministry of our Lord. And you will come out the richer in your spiritual lives. You will enter into that real communion with the Lord. And this name, this beautiful name, will tell us about a name which is like an ointment poured forth. Poured forth. What does that tell you, dear ones? Does that remind you of that blood and water pouring forth from His side? Does that tell you of that water that poured forth from the rock? What does that tell you? It is both. That rock is Christ. My Savior on the cross, He did shed His blood. It poured forth. In fact, the Greek word in John chapter 19 would suggest poured forth like a fountain. And of course, the hymnal would tell us of that beautiful song, down the fountain that we are all plunging into as sinners. We will enjoy of it. It's like an ointment poured forth. So, the name would tell me of His propitiatory work. You know, propitiation, which would indicate to us that finished atoning work on the cross. That's what it tells me. His name is poured forth like an ointment. Poured forth, dear ones. It tells us of His death on the cross. Of His suffering on the cross. Of His sacrifice on the cross. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. And a sacrifice to God. For what? For a sweet smelling savour. What is the sacrifice, dear ones? A sweet smelling savour. An ointment poured forth. Not just propitiation. It also talks about exaltation. We know those beautiful words in Philippians chapter 2, don't we? And therefore God has highly exalted. Highly exalted and given Him a name above the heavens. Whereby every knee must bow, every tongue should confess that He is Lord. A name which is exalted. That exalted name, dear ones, would tell us of not only His death, but would tell us of that glorious resurrection. It would tell us of His heavenly ascension. It would tell us of His glory right now in heaven. It would tell us of the glory He would make us to be partakers of. His name, highly exalted. Highly exalted. We'll move swiftly. The third thing the name would tell us about His work is pervasion. Pervasion. Now what does that mean is this. Dear ones, we are now the bearers of Him in our lives as assemblies and Christians. And what He does in our souls, I trust, would ascend up into God's presence
like that fragrant odor. Don't we pray about that on Lord's Day mornings? May it be that our worship and our meditation be unto you that of a sweet-smelling savor.
We do pray that, don't we? Our worship, our lives, as Christians and as assemblies, they are that of a fragrant nature to God.
He loves it. Are we smelling the right way, do you want?
It's a simple thought. It's a simple thought. Sometimes we have too much of the scent of the world upon us. If the Lord is within our lives, if the Lord is within our churches, what we are is that of a fragrant odor to God Himself. 2 Corinthians 2:15. You don't have to look it up. I'll just read it for you. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. We are a sweet savor to God. Let's not carry the scent of the world. Let's not carry the grave clothes with us. Let's not carry any other scents. We are after Him. Let's have the scent of the Lord. Let's carry His fragrance with us at all places and at all times. May it be, as Stanley James says, the moment somebody looks at us, it should be like this. You glance at me and you gaze at God. That's how our testimonies ought to be, dear ones. We should carry the Lord with us. The moment a holy living brother, you know, somebody who really enjoys the Lord, comes in, or a sister comes in with that character, we know that we are in good presence. We love it, don't we? Somebody, when they really humble themselves for the Lord, and when they glorify the Lord in all aspects of their life, we love their company. And we despise the company of those who are always despising others, who look down upon others, who are condescending, who are proud. We don't like them, do we? We don't like the smell of the world upon us, dear ones. We don't like the smell of grave. We don't like the smell of flesh. Let it never be there. Let there be only the smell of our Lord, the fragrance of our Lord about us. Another simple thought is that of permeation. Now think about it. What happened in John chapter 12 was this. That the alabaster box of ointment was burst. Was broken. What happened? The whole room was filled with the odor. The whole room was filled with the odor, dear ones. The fragrance of the Lord's name permeates. It fills the air. It fills the air. And it catches up with others. Think about that scene, Isaiah 6. Uzziah has died. Isaiah goes into the temple. What does he see? He sees a throne. And he sees the cherubim, seraphim rather, singing, shouting rather, holy, holy, holy. There's a train of smoke about that place. And that whole place is filled with it. What happens when Solomon prays in 2 Chronicles? The whole temple was filled with the smoke from heaven. The fragrance of the Lord permeates. But here is the lesson for us, dear ones. Let us not lock that fragrance within our lives. Let us be channels. Let that fragrance permeate through us. Let us be channels and not reservoirs. What that simply means is this. The love that the Lord has given us, let us give it away. John chapter 13, 35. As I have loved thee, love one another. Let it permeate. Let us be channels, dear ones. Let us enjoy. And you know, it's been said before. I'm not the first one to say, the more of Christ we share, the more of Christ we have. Simple, isn't it? You share more of Him, you have more of Him. He's never going to be exhausted, dear ones. Enjoy Him. Pass Him on, you'll have more of Him. More is given to those who have more to give. Jim Elliot says, he's no fool that loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He knew it. He knew it. He was killed by those tribal people in Ecuador. But now, there are close to 1,200 assemblies in Ecuador. Coming out of that one person's life when the fragrance of the Lord passed through him and permeated through the whole country.
May that be our experience. What glorious fellowship. What wonderful privilege, dear ones. Discover him. Smell him. Enjoy him. Let us not be like those who were disqualified for Levitical priesthood because they had a flat nose. Do you know, Leviticus would tell us about those people who are disqualified from priesthood. One of them is a flat nose. I think it is important for us to understand. In that day, it was a physical flat nose. In a Christian way, it is that nose which cannot smell the Lord. We cannot smell the Lord. If you can't smell the Lord, we don't need to be there. Can you smell the Lord? Be there. You can't smell the Lord? Don't be there. We go into all places on this planet Earth, dear ones. If there is no fragrance of the Lord there, go away. Simple rule of thumb. Go away. Take the smell with you, perhaps. The Lord's smell with you. And maybe change that place if you can. Let the world smell never come onto you. Look at that. May the Lord help us to breathe more of Him, you know. Breathe more of His fragrance. May we enjoy it more. Do you remember that verse in Jeremiah 48? It talks about Moab. It talks about Moab and it says, Moab has changed in nothing. He still has the same scent. He still has the same smell. Moab, dear ones, is representative of flesh like Amalek, the enemies of God. He hasn't changed. He's still got the same smell. You are a changed Christian. Do you have the same smell like Moab, perhaps? Or do you have the smell of Christ on you? It's a challenge, dear ones. Challenge. But the Lord's smell, it permeates. He's a fragrant person. We look at a few more verses, beautiful verses in the Song of Songs. I trust we'll take through a whole journey and we'll still enjoy it. I'm running out of time, but we'll look at a few things. Verse 13 in chapter 1. Now, people have sneered at this book because there is some words used there which they thought are not too holy, but they are absolutely holy, dear ones. Absolutely holy. When the scripture talks about navel, it talks about the belly, the seat of compassion. When the scripture talks about breast, it talks about the chest, where the heart is found, the seat of affections. That's what is found here, verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. A bundle of myrrh. Now in East, you know, actually I keep thinking about it. For us it is west, isn't it? Jerusalem is west to us. But we would love still saying east. Because the Americans and the English said it was east. It's actually west to us. In the west, as I would like to say it, with no disrespect. In that day and age, people would carry a scent with them. And the way they would do that is they would take the myrrh and they would put it up in a bundle and they would put it in their clothing, on their chest so that, you know, it gives them a nice smell wherever they go, wherever they are. Chiefly in the nights. Chiefly in the nights. You have to realize why they do it. Those places were not as sanitized as we have. They probably had open drains. They probably had open sewers and all sorts of things. I don't know why they did it, but that's what they used to do. Carry a bundle of myrrh and put it on their chest. So it gives them lovely fragrance. My dear brother, my dear sisters, do we have the bundle of myrrh on our hearts? That's what it means. On our hearts, in our hearts. Is the Lord in our heart? Now the myrrh, as you very well know, would represent to us the suffering and death of the Lord on the cross. Simply the cross. You all very well know, well educated, well informed, myrrh is that flower which when crushed is beautiful in the smell, but to taste it is very bitter. To taste it is very bitter. When it is crushed and made a juice out of, it is the loveliest fragrance. That's what the love is. That tells us of the suffering and that shame and that death of the Lord. Are you carrying the death and the suffering of our Lord in our heart? Are you dead to the world at all times because He's on your heart? Let Him fill your heart that way, you know. A bundle of myrrh is our Lord to me. Is my beloved to me. Not just my beloved, my well-beloved to me. A bundle of myrrh. Now, just bear with me. This represents to us an intimate fellowship with God. Intimate. Or a private fellowship with God. What comes in next verse? My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now camphire, or henna flowers as they call them. Basically these are lovely fragrant flowers which
are very popular in that part of the world. And what the practice was in that day, they'd carry a bundle of marhia that is inward, unseen to people, intimate relationship, but they would have the henna flowers in their hand, a public display. A public display. And what these henna flowers do? They give them a whole fragrance to their entire garments and their body. Where they go, it's evident. This man comes in the fragrance of the henna flowers. This person, this sister comes in the fragrance of those campfire flowers. May we take the Lord's fragrance with us. It's a private relationship. Now it's a public fellowship. It's a public fellowship. It is searching, dear ones. It is very searching. The henna flowers would tell us something different to what the myrrh would tell us. Myrrh would tell us of the death of Christ. The henna flowers would tell us of the glorious resurrection of Christ. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. There was just one or two days they're blossoming. Do you know that? Just one or two days these flowers blossom in that land and then they're gone. Just like the Lord who was on the scene only for 40 days and He was gone. It talks about the glorious resurrection. We need to have both. Bear the death of the Lord in our heart and go in the power of His resurrection as we go out. We need both of them. We need both of them. I'll move quickly to another theme. Verse 16 is to tell us, thou art fair. I'm not going into the full details of it, but I will go into chapter 2, verse 2, verse 3 rather. Chapter 2, verse 3. I'll read this to you again. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Would we find apple trees in Israel? No. Translators have not helped us here. It's actually not an apple tree, literal apple tree. It's a citron tree. It's a lemon tree. Albeit it's a slightly different kind of lemon, and so it's called a citron. And it's a tree which grows to a decent height, very thick foliage, extended bushes, you know, very extended bushes. And it is something which stands out. What does it say there? As an apple tree among the trees of the wood. Among the trees of the wood. Before I forget, dear ones, I must say this to you. Like I said to you, there are various conversations in this beautiful song. Some conversations are the bride to the bridegroom. Some are bride to the bridegroom. So if you want some more understanding of that, I can help you at the end of the meeting. I've made some notes on that. I can pass that on to you as to who says what to who. But this one is what the bride says. He is an apple tree among the trees of the wood. Among the trees of the wood, he stands out. Unmatchable. None to compare. Unique. Supreme. When a weary traveler goes through the wood, dear ones, the sight of the citron tree would delight the weariness in the traveler. He would go there. He would take shade. He would take shelter under the shade, you know. And what would he or she do? They would taste of the fruit. And it is sweet. That's what happens to us, you know. If we enjoy our time, what kind of shade are we enjoying? Whose shade are we under? May it be that there is no other shade that we delight in. The bride here says, I sat down. Rest yourself. Don't be in a finicky mood. Don't be restless with the Lord. Don't be restless in the Lord's company. Don't be restless in the meeting. Enjoy it. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. That's what the bride does. I sat down. Where? Under. Not on the. Under. Blessed is that person who seeks to be under the Lord's grace at all time. Not under their own might. Not under the position that they have. Not under their own status. Under the Lord's shadow. How many a time we have our personalities going forward and the Lord is behind. We outrun Him. We outwalk Him. Let's not do that. Let us always be under Him. There is safety there. There is shelter there. What does that safety and shelter do, dear ones? Brings us great delight. Tell me what in the world gives us great delight. This tops it all.
this tops it all. Don't go anywhere. Just enjoy the Lord's company, the Lord's people's company. What else is there? And his fruit was sweet to my taste.
There is enjoyment. There is fruitfulness. You can't find that enjoyment anywhere else, dear ones. Such is my beloved. Such is your beloved. Be attracted first to what he is, then enjoy what he does. We don't have time to look into this next aspect, which is a fragrant voice. But if you love the voice of the Lord, there is one part of scripture I would ask you to go, and that is Psalm 29. You would find at least 10 verses, voice of the Lord, voice of the Lord. You'll love it, dear ones. Go, Psalm 29. You'll enjoy it. But within the Song of Songs, there are so many things about his voice. It's a calling voice. It's an awakening voice. It awakens you. It calls you. Do you know that still small voice? Do you know the voice of that mighty thunders? Do you know the voice of that trumpet? Do you hear a voice in your sleep like Samuel does? Still small voice. Do you hear that voice out of the storm like Job did in Job chapter 38 verse 1? Storm. How loud are storms, dear ones? But Job could hear the still small voice of the Lord. That is my Lord's voice. That is your Lord's voice. It's a fragrant voice. It's a beautiful voice. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's a knocking voice that knocks us on our doors. You know, we think of that verse in Laodicean letter, don't we? Revelation chapter 3. It awakens us from our slumber. Are you slumbering in the world? Are you slumbering from the Lord? He'll awake you. Don't worry. He'll not leave you. He loves you too much. He loves us too much, dear ones. If you don't enjoy him, he'll still come and knock at you. He'll knock on your door. He'll come and knock. Come and knock. He won't leave you. The desirable voice. Now, he's a fragrant high priest. Fragrant high priest. What I will do is I'll actually very quickly glance through this. Now, chapter 3 is beautiful. We'll just read that one verse because it talks about the high priestly character of our Lord. One verse, chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? In the Old Testament, we had two different pillars, didn't we? The pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. What do we have here? Not two pillars. We have here pillars of smoke. This smoke is not an ordinary smoke, dear ones. It's not from the burning of graves. It's not from the burning of the world. It's from the burning of the incense. Where do you find it? That smoke perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. Myrrh talks about the death of the Lord. Frankincense talks about the glory of the Lord. Pillars of incense. It tells me of his high priestly work right now. Where is he right now? He sat up there. He's burning incense for us. To the Lord. His Father is interceding for us day and night. Day and night. With all the powders of the merchant. You know, the merchants of that day would go to the wilderness. Typically the wilderness, the woods. They would collect all the rubbish flowers which are already dead. Or those trampled up flowers and leaves. That's what they do. Trampled up and crumpled up and dead. And he would bring them up. Crunched them, dried them, and made them a powder. Very popular there. That would tell me, dear ones, of our trials. Crumpled up. Crushed up. Dead sometimes. But where is it found? Where are these powders found? In the pillar of smoke that the Lord would offer to his Father. Your tears, your suffering, doesn't go unnoticed. Where is it? The Lord would use it in his incense, you know. In his own incense, the Lord would use it. Thank you for this high priest. Holy high priest. A fragrant high priest. Now this is perhaps the most important thing. And I'll leave after this for this session. This is found in chapters 5. We love these verses, so we'll read them. And I would call that as the finest and the foremost. There is none beside him. Verses 10 onwards. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly
is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Telling the world. The bride is answering the daughters of Jerusalem. Who is he, your lover? There is he, your lover. Those are the two questions posed by the daughters of Jerusalem. And the bride comes up with a spontaneous response. My beloved is white and ruddy, chiefest among 10,000. All those 10 peculiar characteristics of our Lord are so beautiful, dear ones. So beautiful, they all stand for those wonderful virtues of our Lord. And I trust we'll enjoy them each time we come to this part of the scripture. And you can't see them well there. I've got the explanations for these wonderful characteristics in yellow. So when it says white and ruddy, it tells us of the Lord's purity and perfection. Purity and perfection. And his head would tell us of his royalty and his deity. His locks would tell us of that vitality. Do you know? This one who we know as the Ancient of Days became as a young man for us. Vitality. Locks that are flowing. Like the sheep of Gilead, even. Sheep of Gilead. Vitality. Young. Perfect. Unchanging manhood. That's what it tells us, dear ones. And his eyes are holy and beautiful. You know, the Lord's eyes are talked about as dove's eyes. And such is the description for the bride's eyes too. Dove's eyes. Dove is an instructive study in the scripture. We might look at it later. But his eyes talk about his holiness and perfect vision. You know, even on that cross, with all that suffering, he could still see and he could speak to them. That is your mother, he says to John. And to her he says, behold your son. Behold your son. In that Sanhedrin, in that false court, the Lord stood somewhere else, would still look, and his pinpointed look towards Peter. Peter knows the Lord is looking at him. What vision? What eyes? He knows you. He's looking at you right now. He's looking at me right now. His cheeks would tell us of his grace and pure words. His hands would remind us of his holy work and ministry, apart from the fact that his hands were pierced. His belly would remind us of his compassion. His legs are going to remind us of his strength and stability through all that destruction around him of all morality and all that God is. He stood tall. They would cause him to fall down. He stood tall. Set his face like a flint. Went up to Jerusalem. He stood tall. Single-minded determination, dear ones. He stood tall. His countenance would just tell us of his dignity and his supremacy. You know, he's incomparable. His countenance is that of cedars. Cedars are huge trees. I don't know if anyone has been to Lebanon to see the cedars. The cedars in US are dwarfed. I've been to see them in Beirut. Oh, each of them so magnificent, so huge. They're stately. That's what the Lord is. That's what the Lord is. And his mouth tells us about his sweet, wonderful voice. We've been thinking about his voice. And I trust your voice. He will now say, yay. He's altogether lovely. My beloved is mine. And I am his. And he feedeth among the lilies. We'll come to what a lily means in the next session. My beloved is mine. Can you say that? Isn't our Lord wonderful and beautiful? Would we desire anyone else? Would we desire anything else? There is no time for anything. Let's not waste it. Let's look to the Lord. Yea, he's altogether lovely.